It is so well defined. What we have to do today, we got to go to work.
We got to do.
Oh, everyone, it's Wade and Ryan. We're back. It's NFL in London, episode 301. Draft is done. Are you draft exhausted?
I've recovered. Well, I didn't stay up and watch it, thank God. I had the pleasure of just fast-forwarding through it, which made the draft last, honestly, like about an hour.
Well, you weren't in round one anyway, so I guess you didn't have to, worry about it.
I'll tell you what, if I had stayed up till 4:30 and the Bills moved out of two picks, I would have been absolutely furious.
Yeah.
But it was an all right draft. I think the problem is it's because there's such a long time between the draft and the end of the season that it just gets hyped up. And you're just expecting it to be like the Wild West, all these trades are going everywhere. And it was kind of a quiet draft. Like there was nothing, only one real shocking move, but there was nothing really like, oh, here we go. No other players being traded or anything like that.
No, and I mean, even looking
it was
back...
It was underwhelming. It was a bit underwhelming. I was underwhelmed.
Yeah, and I mean, even looking at our picks, I mean, we were off on a lot. I mean, I did pick up Minnesota to move up. There's a lot of, some surprises. some surprises. Obviously, you know, I think the Falcons fans a bit wondering why you go full panics.
They did. That's of course the one talk. You never want to be the team that everyone talks about in the draft, right?
Yeah.
It's never for the right reason. You know, no one's ever talking about what a pick. It's always like who the hell reached. And no one knows it would be a reach in a couple of years, but it just made no sense. It just felt like you're in this position, you got an easy division to win. Mm-hmm. Just paid a guy $100 million. You got kind of all the weapons you need on offense, maybe another receiver. You mm-hmm. could have even taken like a Dunze. You could have taken the best offensive player. And you took a backup for a 2-year backup.
Yeah. I mean, well.
And an expensive backup at that. And it's you don't know if Cousins is going to be fully healthy. But I mean, if I'm on that team, I want to win now. Give me a weapon. It's a top 10 pick. You don't get top 10 picks a lot, and to do it on a guy who's not going to play for 3 years is just bad investing. It's just like if you did that,
my first thought on that, but then the second thought I had was, you know, like if look, Cousins gets injured again, it's you only have to look at what the Jets and Aaron Rodgers last year. Hey, we got this guy gets injured the first game. It's like, wow, it'd have been great to have a backup. Does it hurt them? Yeah, and I think the general manager trying to convince Arthur Blank, no, this was a good call, was difficult for them. But, you know, Atlanta's got a whole heap of problems going on. And again, if Cousins does get injured, it doesn't look stupid, you know?
No, but it's also, you welcome these arguments, right? Because whenever Cousins has a, you know, a back-to-back Cousins games, you know, mm-hmm. when he has those stinkers, he'll have those games where he puts up 4 or 5 touchdowns, but he'll have some stinkers.
Yeah.
And then before you... would just kind of roll with the punches and be like, you know, that's Kirk being Kirk, you know, doing his thing. But now it's like, hey, why don't we put Penix in? You've opened that door, distraction.
Yeah.
And then if the whole thing is like, you don't even tell the dude before, like right before the pick, and it's just like, man, this is just amateur hour. It just felt
you don't even tell the owner before the pick.
Sure, this worked out with Green Bay. Mm-hmm. It worked out with Green Bay, and it looks like it was a genius move. But, you know, it doesn't guarantee this is going to work. And, you know, if Kirk Cousins is amazing for the next 2 years, mm-hmm. wants another third year, now it just feels weird. It's very Jordan Love, but I think you're asking way too much. Like, that, to me, was just a wild pick and deserving of criticism.
Well, yeah, and I mean, then how do you feel then about the Buffalo Bills? You know, you've got a wide receiver, the fastest guy in the combine, and, you know, would be great for the Bills, and then you give him to KC.
I don't love trading with Kansas City. I never really wanted Worthy. Track records for 160-pound receivers is not good.
Yeah,
they don't tend to last long in this league. And even historically, people who've run in like the 4.2s, there's like only two in the history of the NFL who've had 1,000-yard seasons. Like, it's not this guarantee. It's all, and again, with all the technology we have of how fast people run in games and everything, what's the point of the 40? Other than to just get this guy's draft thing up? And again, The only reason you're afraid is because it's Andy Reid. But we have also seen Andy Reid. You know, everyone.
Well, it's Mahomes you're afraid of. Like, I'm afraid of Mahomes because he can.
I think you're.
Yeah, he can make a lunchbox turn into a star.
Reid's also going to put him in the position, but yeah. we've also seen Andy Reid draft Sky Moore, and everyone's like, "Oh, he's got Sky Moore," and like that hasn't happened. They traded for Tony, and it's like, mm-hmm. "Oh no." They gave him Tony. He's going to be, and it hasn't always worked out. So again, no one knows what. It's only the only thing that's going to be bad is if they meet in the playoffs and Worthy scores like the winning touchdown.
Yeah, if he's the beatdown,
which is probably the inevitable end to this season for the Bills. But I didn't mind it. I don't think the Bills were and clearly they didn't want him,
mm-hmm.
and I think they wanted to get back in the third round, and they were able to do that. So, I probably wouldn't trade with Kansas City, but because it didn't really feel like it was a wow offer. But mm-hmm. again, when you're in this range of like 28 to 32, like that's like the Sahara Desert. Like every guy in that range, it's all crapshoot.
Yeah, no, it can be very different. Yeah. I mean, you look at the draft as a whole as well. It was the most offensive minded draft I think I've seen in ages. 55 offensive linemen taken in 3 days. Six quarterbacks taken in the top 10. There was a string where there was 14 offensive players taken before the first defensive player.
Yeah,
and you've got 8 offensive tackles taken in round 1, 7 wide receivers taken in round 1. It's all about the O, baby.
Yeah. I just think that it's an arms race. It feels like an arms race with everyone. And now you're seeing with the contracts that these guys are going to have to pay out, you know, if mm-hmm. you want that top end receiver, you're now pushing $30 million with what like St. Brown got.
Yeah.
And like what Jefferson and when Jefferson and Chase get their next deals, that's going to, so I think teams are like, which is why I think like teams like Buffalo are like, let's get rid of all this money. Let's just start drafting some young guys. Let's just start building it this way, because you know you've seen Kansas City do it. They did it, I think, more with their defense is what mm-hmm. won them this championship this year. I don't think it had anything to do with their offense. I don't think their offense was special in any of the playoff games. Maybe against Buffalo.
Mahomes. I mean, but
he wasn't spectacular. He wasn't.
No, he was good. Yeah, he got the job done
in the Baltimore game. He was good in the Super Bowl, but he wasn't Mahomesy. It was just that defense just made big plays and just kept him alive, and then he was able to do his thing. But yeah, so. I don't know. I just think you want that cheap receiver contract. And I think that's a valuable thing. You're seeing lots of teams, you know, like the Patriots took two receivers, you know, to go with Drake May. That's nice. That's smart. I get these guys together young. And if I'm Buffalo, again, getting someone like Keon Coleman, I think they haven't had someone like him. He's a big body, that T. Higgins type of receiver who can. Because we saw one thing, Josh Allen likes to throw it up in the air a lot. So mm-hmm. I would like to have a receiver who can maybe win it. Because every time Josh Allen would throw it up for a receiver, it would either get intercepted or knocked to the ground. Almost never was caught by Buffalo. And I think that was something they wanted to change. So I like their pick.
Yeah, and both of our teams went for international players. You guys grabbed Travis Clayton at 221st. He's never played in the NFL.
Never even seen a football.
Never even played. But he, 6'7"? So I guess, and I think he impressed. And, of course, we took the Australian Torrey Taylor, set punting records. I was happy with the Bears picks. You know, like, look, Caleb's going to have to show up. And you know, you put a lot of pressure on a rookie. It's a lot of pressure on a lot of rookies
but
this year.
I think he's putting a lot of pressure on himself. Like, I like the pick. Of course, you got to go with him. He's consensus, everyone back. The one thing, the only thing I didn't like is when he's like, when they drafted like a punter, and then
he said,
like,
you're not going to work much.
So you're not going to be, and I'm like, dude, you haven't even played a snap yet. Stop with this.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be punting. That stuff. It was like a couple years ago. Remember when Josh Rosen was like, 9 teams made a mistake and now we're all going to pay for it. He's out of the league now. So, I just think that to me, I don't like that. Just dude, the thing I worry about the Bears the most, even though I did like Dunze, is your offensive line.
Yeah,
I think it still has problems. I think, again, I would have rather when you had, you know, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, to me, I would rather protect my investment of the number one overall pick is the most important thing. I think it felt like he got excited of the shootout possibility. We're just going to air raid it all over the field because you got incredible weapons now. But to me, I wonder, you know, is he going to have the protection to be able to get it down the field to these guys? Because it's going to be a lot different, I mean, the pass rush coming.
That's a big worry that I've had. And obviously, you know, one of the big things when you look at the end of the season last year was that the Bears were in the top four in terms of defense. Our defensive production, we were able to, you know, to actually get shut down. So you look at it and go, okay, the problem is that our O-line is porous. And yeah, to your point, you sort of go, okay, it's great. You got all these guys. Look, there's still the toxicity of the Bears system. To me, that, you know, even, you know, it's like being in an abusive household. You know, you're never going to be prom queen. I don't know.
The curse.
Yeah, and I don't know. But then, you know, and as we were saying there, yeah, you've got to protect him because, you know, if you look at Fields, who was staying in the pocket way too long and then just getting pummeled, you know, Caleb's a bit more of a playmaker. But, you know, if he's got some fast Ds just coming through and just ripping him apart, welcome to the NFL, baby. It's going to be very difficult for him.
Yeah, I've toned down. Now my only thing is tone down the we're not going to punt in the cockiness. It's just like, calm down. This is what's what happening. We're getting into now the NIL generation coming into the league.
Yeah.
Like, getting paid, and they're just walking in like, I bunch of, like, they're going into a room full of men, and they're going to realize that.
Well, I was watching an interesting thing. It was like on a U.S. talk show, and they were talking about just in the fact that, you know, like how emotional Caleb is, and, you know, seeing crying and going, seeing his mom and stuff like that. And one of the players, I'm not going to say, he was a veteran guy, he's been around, he's like, look, a lot of the younger guys in the locker room aren't going to say anything. He said, but you know who's going to say anything? And it was a bunch of all XL players, you know, agreed. They're like, it's the guys getting paid. It's a star wide receiver. It's a guy who's getting all the money. It's like, shut the fuck up. You know, he's like, that's what they're going to be like. It's going to like, don't do this to me. This is my, you know, this is my team. Don't you do that. So it's an interesting dynamic in terms of when we talk about the generationals, you know, between people and the veterans in the room. So
I think he's learned his lesson. I don't think he's going to cry on the field.
I don't think you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't think so, but, you know, obviously
I don't think he's going to do that in the NFL.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You imagine if you were on a team with James Harrison and he saw
maybe
you crying.
In 10 years when like the next generation of the next, and there's just going to be like, maybe like a 5-minute cry break during the game.
Yeah. We just have a hug break and everyone shares their emotions.
Everyone just take five. We just talk about our feelings, hug it out. And
it'll all be robot
football,
players,
you know?
By then anyway. It was interesting though to see, because Roger Goodell, you know, look, it was nice to see him throughout the draft. I think people are starting to warm to him. He doesn't age too, which is interesting.
He didn't get booed as much.
He didn't get booed, but he's showing a bit more humanity.
It's because he walked out with Eminem. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. One of them was drunk. Look, the other thing they're talking about now is he's alluded to is that the fact he wants to make it now 18 weeks, and that's what they're looking for next year—an 18-week season that the Super Bowl would be played on President's Day weekend, which is the third Sunday in February. And then that would also mean that they would have to move the NFL first week one to Labor Day, the combine to March, free agency to April, and then the draft to May. That is sort of the plan. But I wouldn't be surprised by the year 2035 if we've got a 20-week NFL season.
No, it's too much.
Right, dude. No, look how much 18, money it's making.
If you do 18, I think you have to potentially do two buys. Like, I think a second buy, I think they would only be okay with a second buy. Teams get 2 weeks off.
Or you have to get a certain amount of wins to earn a buy.
Definitely need that. I mean, have you seen some of these rosters by the end of the season?
Oh, yeah. It's all depleted.
It's an absolute shit show. Like, the playoffs sometimes are, you know, we're watching guys like Skylar Thompson and Mason Rudolph. And, like, everyone's injured. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. But I don't think anyone's asking for this other than the owners. And I don't think the fans want it. I definitely know the players don't want it, but I guess they'll get paid more. But
it just seems the way that things are expanding. You know, it used to be, oh, you can't touch Labor Day weekend. Americans, they love this. And now it's just the NFL is taking over everything. It just seems to be growing so much that it seems inevitable as the NFL eats up everything.
275,000 people watching that. Like, that is insane. That's like Live Aid.
Yeah.
Like this. But all they're doing is watching people's names.
But way less drugs. Detroit put on a good show for it.
That just shows that the NFL is king. Like the draft ratings were like something like more than any of the NBA finals.
Yeah.
More of it's just, it's wild.
And you start looking, because I've got US television. So, I mean, when I'm watching the hype and I'm watching on ESPN and Fox and CBS, we don't get that same, energy over in the UK, but it's just like, holy crap, it's on all the time. Even in Canada, the Canadian ads as well. So, I mean, yeah, man, it's draft crazy. And they had the Chicago guy. I think we had our guy from the Bears UK, James Gower, I think his name was, did the announcement, pissed off some of the fans. I loved it. Good for him. So it's nice that they're getting everyone involved in that. The other thing is we talk about the NFL and the growing power of the NFL. You've got CBS now, which has surprisingly gotten rid of Boomer Esiason and Phil Simms.
I mean, it's these guys are getting old. We gotta move on.
They're not like Terry Bradshaw, where he's like, what's he going to say?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, Bradshaw's a ticking time bomb.
Oh, no, I know. That's what people love.
We're just waiting for them.
Waiting for him to drop something. He's like, that's a hate crime right there, Terry.
Yeah. And Howie Long's actually 90 and no one knows.
Yeah.
He still looks like he can play a couple downs.
It's interesting that, and you've got the NFL Network, all these people getting fired as well. There is talk that the NFL is looking to maybe, buy ESPN or something like that. And then they could just bring in their own people. I mean, the NFL Network, does anyone even watch it? I mean, the ratings from now, until September, I don't know what the NFL Network does. I've flipped it on occasionally.
Yeah, there's nothing really. You got nothing until about May, mini camps. And nothing until. Luckily, we got the Euros this summer. So that's the beauty of when there's like a football tournament.
Bears
like
are still going to lose that one. Cup. I guarantee that.
So we'll be very happy to.
Yes, the Euros will take it up, and then we have the Olympics, and then it'll
exactly. Keep us all. It's perfect. This is a perfect summer for all that stuff.
Travis Kelce is now the most expensive tight end in the game. 2 years, 34.25 million. Apparently Taylor
still feels like very underpaid, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, even though like when you're seeing like, Amon St. Brown getting 30 million and he's getting 17 and I feel like he does more for the Chiefs than St. Brown does.
I think it's also like Gronk. He probably makes a lot of money off endorsements, and he's probably one of those guys like Gronk, as you said, never touched any of his NFL money because he made all this endorsement money. I mean, him and his brother doing the soup. He's got the podcast. The amount of money he's actually pulling in tertiary. I'm sure he's like that doesn't mean anything. And I mean, like if he goes through Taylor's couch cushions, it's like, oh my god, I found 8 million. You never know.
Is this a diamond? Is this a Rolex?
I can't believe I left that down there. So I mean, good for him. I mean, and then you got Zeke coming back.
It's
the return of the Mac.
If anyone's had the worst offseason in the NFL in a long time, it's been Dallas, where it's like you talk about how you're all in. Sign nobody. Derrick Henry is sitting there on a platter for you.
Signed,
like wanting to go. Don't sign him. You don't even have a running back. Now you're like, we'll just bring back Zeke. I think there's a weird thing going on in Dallas where I think Jerry Jones doesn't believe in this team he has.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm going to like sabotage it and just blow it completely because he wants to just get rid of, I think, McCarthy. Dak. And I think he wants to get rid of Dak. And I think he doesn't want to have to pay Dak. So he's like, I'm not getting him any more weapons.
Well, it feels like they peaked. It feels like, when we talk about the Bills, you reach a level where the amount of
talent. It has that Billsy feel. Yeah. Where it's like, we tried with these guys.
You hit that sort of, the cusp. And then if you everything here's together, and if we can't do it, we can't do it. The 49ers, the same thing. You only have a certain amount of years before it's like, we don't really have that chance anymore. And it just sort of feels like that, that it's sort of over. And it's like, okay, well, now you're going to be struggling because even in your division, you're going to struggle. The Eagles have made enough moves to keep themselves competitive. And, even the Giants and Washington weren't, they've made enough moves to keep themselves to be competitive against you. So it's, and then you just look at the other teams that are just loading up. You have a team that we talk about, the Houston Texans. you know, and how they, you know, they were the kicking, you know, the kicking bag for so long in the league and able to turn it around. You know, Tank Dell obviously getting shot the other day by a 16-year-old. Not cool. He's okay.
Oh, my God. I know.
But I mean, you know, when you look at Texas and then Dallas and, you know, the comparisons there, it's like, well, is Houston now the Texas's team?
It feels like it is.
It just seems interesting that Dallas, I don't know where they can sort of, what they can really do from here.
I know, especially because they don't really have, like, again, you got Cooks on the outside, but Cooks is getting older. He's still good, but again, you didn't get CeeDee Lamb any help.
Mm-hmm.
You have no running game now at all. Like, if you think Zeke's going to get back to, unless you're thinking of, you didn't really even draft anyone really that was, again, they went offensive line. It just feels like maybe they're just like, we're going to try Trey Lance next year and just let Dak walk. Because the contracts are getting crazy, right?
For sure. I mean,
and if you're paying Dak 50, 60 million now, it'll be next year. And then you got Micah Parsons coming up. You're going to have to pay him.
Very expensive.
And CeeDee Lamb. So it's like you have these three huge contracts. You can't, that are probably all going to require top of the market.
And I mean, they were still paying Dak they were still paying Zeke anyway. So I mean, might as well bring him back when you still have to pay him. You wonder how Brandon Cooks has got to feel after leaving Houston and having, you know, just the worst quarterbacks, and then you go to Dallas and you watch CJ Stroud, you go, God damn it. Like if I would have just, this kid is the guy I needed, because you know, you have Brandon Cooks who was just putting up crazy numbers, like even in fantasy, you're like, oh, because he was the only guy.
Well, he could just be patient because he'll just get traded again. He always gets traded.
Yeah, well, just he's getting old, though, man. You know,
someone will still trade for him.
Yeah, somebody would, but it's just gonna be, he doesn't have as much spring in the step as he used to.
No.
Fox has announced that they're gonna be charging $7 million for next year's Super Bowl per commercial. That's going up quite a bit.
Ouch.
Yeah. And have you seen Kansas City? They've put their new stadium pictures up. I don't know if you saw the practice facilities are. Kansas City apparently so woeful. That I think then, what is it, Worthy went there. He's like, it's worse than the University of Texas.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah. He's billionaires sometimes. Sometimes when you read those, that's why I love those owner reports at the end of the year, and they tell you, like, facilities F. Yeah. They got one of the worst facilities, I think, of marks for that. And they're trying to, now they're even, there's all this talk where, you know, that they're in fighting the city and they lost a vote to finance it, so they're threatening to move the Chiefs.
And Dallas, because, you know, obviously the Chiefs was a Texas team to begin with. You got everyone in Texas going, hey, come on back here, come on down here. I mean, obviously Kansas City would never, you know, Missouri, the state of Missouri is going to do whatever they can to keep that team in there.
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah, no, you're not going to lose it, like win the Super Bowl and then they leave. It'd be like some sort of Art Modell kind of thing. Adams has been lauding the praises of Vegas, basically saying that the atmosphere in the locker room of the Raiders is far more competitive and hungry than the Packers ever was. I wonder how
I liked their pick. I like their Brock Bowers pick. I think it gives them, they really need another weapon, because I guess you're just going with an open competition with Minshew and O'Donnell. And I think getting someone like as dynamic as Bowers, even though it's kind of weird considering they drafted like Mayer last year, I think, in Notre Dame. And then he was decent. So unless they're just going to be like, you know, we're going to double run it. Like, again, they also lost Josh Jacobs, so they needed to get someone. But to me, it's like, sure, I'm sure the mood's all great when you haven't played a game yet. But let's see how the mood is if you're 0-3. Locker room. So it's all fine. We're going to have all the tropes coming in, like, oh, he's in the best shape of his life. Everyone's on the same page. And then week two, they're all trade requesting and
fat and puking on the sidelines,
burning the place to the ground.
It was interesting. I don't know if you know, we'll end on this. I don't know if you're watching the UFL at all. I've been watching some of it on the weekend.
I have watched zero snaps.
It's still empty, very empty. The stadiums are surprisingly empty. But the game's, you know, interesting just to watch, get a little football. But I don't know if you heard, The Rock is now under a lot of pressure just for his attitude across a lot of things, and the UFL included, for a lot of people complaining about him being late on set, being disrespectful to people in the UFL. Him and Ryan Reynolds apparently had a big fight. So it's interesting to see. I wonder how that translates down to the league, or if that's maybe the one of the reasons, you know, the league is.
Well, his giant head is getting bigger than his casino.
Than his giant muscles.
Than
yeah,
his
exactly.
giant muscles. But yeah, The Rock could care. I don't know. I think it's just destined to fail. It's like, you just can't have something as good as the NFL and be like, hey, we got this other league that's like that doesn't even have players. Like, if it was a farm system league where it's like you could watch some of your guys come up and be good, and I think it needs that. Without it being affiliated with something, like at least in the Euros and when it was in Europe, you'd have like the logo of your team would be on the guy's shirt. So you know, like, oh, there's a Bills guy on the Claymores, on the Scottish Claymores. So I think they need that. Without that affiliation, this is never going to work. Because at least if you know, you could be like, oh, hey, that's our guy. I'm going to watch him this week because he's playing. I think he's going to be good. Without that, it's going to fail.
Well, I think it's hard with the allegiances like that because the teams aren't going to, you know, you've only got eight teams. So you're not going to really, you know, I think it's just them trying to build that XFL, UFL. It seems like the ratings are all right. But it's just the live. I mean, I think from the standpoint of Fox, it's good, you know, the way that they've been airing. But in terms of in terms of the live, it hasn't really sort of taken off. But hey, you know, I never want to see anyone lose a job in this economy. It's all about positivity. Folks, that's it for this episode. Ryan and I wax on. It's we're starting to shake it off. Spring is springing and we're starting to feel the football. So we'll be back every week with more podcasts. Thanks for listening to this one, folks. Have a good one.